Let's start in Matthew chapter 15. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Like Mr. Haggard, I am going to start in the book of Matthew in verse 17. Matthew 15, 17. This is cutting into the thought here, the context here. Jesus is addressing the issue of unwashed hands. Unwashed hands. So there was, you know, kind of a cleansing issue people were taking issue with, about whether you wash your hands or don't wash your hands before you eat. Verse 17, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Jesus here is reminding, well, he's teaching us that our words and our speech come from the heart. Our words and our speech come from the heart. And when we don't give attention to our words and our speech, it leads to some pretty terrible things, some pretty terrible violations of God's holy law, his moral law. It leads to murder. It leads to lying, stealing, adultery. You could probably pull out any one of the commandments in that list that he gives here. In Mr. Haggard's message, he mentioned there are times when we have to take courage not to speak. We have to take courage not to offer something from our mouths. And I want to talk about one of those areas this afternoon or this morning. And that is the dangers of gossip. The dangers of gossip. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, what's interesting in the New Testament and the church that is formed after Christ's ascension and after the day of Pentecost, this idea of gossip and tale-bearing chatter is frequently brought up in many different books because it's a very human thing to do. It's something we do as humans. We like to talk. We have the gift of gab. And if we don't give attention to that, if we don't give attention to our heart, as it says in the book of Matthew, that could be really, really damaging. Romans 1, 28. This section here, the context here, is a list of behaviors that are the result of unrighteousness or ungodliness, so rejecting God and his instruction. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Like that passage in Revelation that was just read, this should strike a little fear into our hearts. These behaviors specifically listed here, whispering, backbiting, the idea that you say one thing, you turn around, and when they're not looking, you take a bite out of them. Being proud, being boastful, inventors of evil things. We ever invent a story or a narrative? Untrustworthy is on that list. One of the kind of basics about gossip is it's usually done in secret. It's done behind somebody else's back. these behaviors that are listed here, it says those who practice such things, so if we're doing them, but also those who approve of practicing those things. If you repeat something, you're approving of it. You're approving of what was said because you think it's worthy to share with someone else. Neither one of those things are acceptable before God. When we practice or repeat it, we're approving. These are strong words. Between these passages in Matthew and Romans, our participation in gossip is considered a defilement and worthy of death, worthy of missing out on the kingdom of God and on eternal life. Throughout Scripture, gossip is referred to commonly as tale-bearing, or slander. In the Old Testament, it's often translated slander. The idea that you're trying to steal someone's reputation, steal someone's, others view them and treat them, and tale-bearing, you're spreading, maybe there's a little truth in there. Gossip doesn't necessarily have to be a lie. It could be a full-on truth, but you're spreading it in a way that is malicious. To help us a little bit with this topic, I do think it's useful to actually define it briefly. And I'm not going to give you a Webster's definition of what gossip is. I think we all have a general understanding of it. You know when you're participating in it. At least I do. I know when I'm observing it. I know when I contribute to it. But what's kind of a litmus test? Is this gossip? Is this gossip? It's generally informed by two components. There are generally two things you have to evaluate when you consider, is this gossip? The first one, and we'll dig into each of these a little bit further. The first one is intent or motivation. What is the intent? Why is this thing being shared? Why is this topic, this person, this event, why is it being shared? If you look into our media, it's mainly for profit. It's for financial gain. I scrolled through Yahoo News this morning, and it's 2/3 of it is gossip about some horrible thing that some person did. It sells. Gossip sells. There's whole, magazines dedicated to this. More clicks, more views, more money. But for us as individuals, maybe we don't care about celebrity gossip, we'll call it. For us as individuals, what motivates us? What is the intent? And it's primarily selfish in nature. We'll dig into it a little bit. The second thing that gossip, kind of the litmus test of what is gossip, is what is actually being shared? What is the content? What is the content that's being shared? We should generally ask ourselves, is it true? How many times do we repeat something that we hear one time? And we just go on and we take that as truth. Not because we verified it. There's the principle of two witnesses biblically. Not because we've gone and checked it out, but because it fits the own narrative in our heads that we've already framed. I do this all the time. Of course that's true. Why wouldn't that be true? That's exactly aligned with what I think. Of course it's true. We should ask ourselves, is this true? And does it need to be shared? That's the other question we ask ourselves. Does it need to be shared? There are many things that are true that have no need to be broadcast to anybody else. There are things I share with my spouse, as I should, that if she went and shared them across the congregation, that would be a big issue for us. Be a very big issue for us. Now you're like, what is it? What is he hiding? So So two general components of gossip. What is the intent and what is the content? Those are two things. And if you can answer those questions, you'll understand, am I in gossip mode or not in gossip mode? And there are some people that are really good at this. And I'm not trying to say that we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. But there are, you meet them. There are people that just love to get in there and meddle. And they love to stir things up. Let's go to a quick example. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Verse 15, or chapter 15. 2 Samuel 15 picks up on the story of Absalom, David's son. There's a whole backstory leading up to this chapter, but essentially where it leads into it is there's a little bit of reconciliation that's happened between Absalom and David. David's allowed him to kind of come back into the court, if you will. They don't have a close relationship, but there seems to be an occasional audience with each other. In chapter 15, verse 1, we see that Absalom starts to stir things up. After this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So this is entrance to the city. This is a big, kind of big open area, lots of people coming in and out. The learned men would sit around and discuss things in this space. Popular area. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, they'd come through this gate, that Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" And he would say, "Your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you." Whether that was true, I don't know. We'll see his intent here. Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice." And so it was, whenever anyone came to bow down to him, he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. And in this manner, Absalom acted toward all of Israel and came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He's setting himself up and spreading some gossip at the gate. "Oh, I don't think the king has time for your problems. I don't think his government's set up to handle this. I don't think he cares about you. But me, I'm here. I'm going to grab your hand. I'm going to look you in the eye and tell you how important you are." Because he wanted to help them? No, his motivation's right here. "Oh, that I were made a judge in the land." His intent is to go against the God-ordained government of his father. Let's keep going, verse 7. "Now it came to pass after 40 years," that should better be translated 4 years. But that's 4 years. This is going on for a while. This is not a quick social media blast and he's off. He's doing this day after day for 4 years. Or it seems, I don't know if it's day after day, but it seems he's doing this over this course of time. "That Absalom said to the king," so he is interacting with David a little bit during this time, "Please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord, for your servant took a vow while I dwelt in Geshur in Syria, saying, 'If the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord.' And the king said to him, 'Go in peace.' So he rose and went to Hebron." So he's being very deceptive here. He's speaking against his father, and then he's trying to coordinate with his father at the same time. Verse 10, "Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron.' And with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem, And they went along innocently and did not know anything. So he starts with this small group of 50 people. It's grown to 200 that are willing to travel with him and go with him. And they're innocent in the sense that they don't really understand what he's up to. How often does that happen with gossip? It just starts going and going and going. And before you know it, you're part of the mob and you're like, I don't even know what I'm against right now. I don't even know how I got here. Verse 12, Absalom sent for, I practiced this, Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, and from his city to Gilo, to when he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. Once it starts, it spreads. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Absalom, at that point, his work was done. He doesn't have to say another word. It's already out there. It's already spread. We kind of use conspiracy loosely in our modern society, but what this essentially means is better translated treason. It's an allied rebellion. It's an alliance of rebellion. It's treason. He's launching a rebellion, and how does he do it? Gossip. Slander. Talebearing. Going against the government of God. You can read the rest of the story. It doesn't end well. But I wonder if God speaks so strongly against gossip. You know, he says it defiles us. He says it's death. It's worthy of death. I wonder if God speaks so strongly against it because it's the same spirit that Satan had in his rebellion. You know, he drew a third of the angels. How'd that happen? I don't know, but I would think gossip might be involved. I would think some sort of falsehood, or just like he tricked Adam and Eve, a little bit of truth and a little bit of a lie, and you get people on your side. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren in the book of Revelation. So do you know that Satan is trying to entice God and maybe even angels with salacious, juicy gossip about you and about me? I think he's up there trying to spread as much as he can about each one of us. Let me spend the latter half here sharing three reflections on gossip. There's so much written, just like the topic of courage. There's so much written about our words and being mindful about how we speak and how we communicate with others. These are three broad reflections on the topic of gossip that are biblically based. The first one, first reflection, is that gossip is self-seeking. It is self-seeking. As I mentioned earlier about intent, it's critical to examine our own intentions and motivations. Gossip is fueled by any number of selfish desires and motivations. The desire to be superior to someone else. I know something that you don't. And therefore, I'm a little bit better than you are. The desire for attention. Look at me. I have something. I know something. I know something about you that you don't even know I know about you. The desire for acceptance. The desire for lust, even. Envy. They had a better cookie tray at the potluck than I did. So I'm gonna tell my kids not to go to that cookie tray. We've never done that, by the way. Laura Beth's not here. No, we've never done that I know. Even boredom, the idle mind, start coming up with stuff. inventing things, reading into things. Go to James chapter 3. James 3, verse 13. The book of James has a lot to say about how we conduct ourselves. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If we know things, God expects us to pair that with humility and meekness. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. This is the wisdom Satan had. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Confusion. Gossip leads to so much confusion. You don't even know what the truth is. We see that in our society right now. So much confusion. Every evil thing are there, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. You can't share something gossipy and not have some partiality and not have some form of hypocrisy about you. It's impossible. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's go on to chapter 4. Just keep reading here. Verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. These are the same words that are used in Matthew 15. And he's addressing the church in Jerusalem. You have not because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? It's against God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. These are strong words. And these are all lists, these are motivations that might lead us to participate in gossip. Gossip is designed to elevate our selfish ambitions and pleasures. It's designed to give us something. And I won't go into it a ton, but if you look at Satan's downfall, it talks about his trading, his abundance of trading. What was he trading? Information, probably. Lies. That's how he got what he wanted to get out of it. So the first reflection there, gossip is self-seeking. The second one, gossip destroys relationships. Gossip destroys relationships. We are children of God, brought into his presence through a process of reconciliation. Do we live in that reconciliation, that state of reconciliation? Do we live with the same attributes that God shows us? Attributes of mercy, of love, of patience. Do we practice those things with our speech? Let's go to the book of Proverbs. This must have been a big topic on Solomon's mind and on other writers of Proverbs because it's mentioned a lot. We'll go through a number of these passages quickly here. Proverbs 10:18. Gossip destroys relationships. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Notice the tie between hatred, lying, and slander. Whatever starts in the heart, if there's hatred in the heart, can very easily lead to lying and slander. it can lead to gossip. And that's not practicing mercy, love, faith, hope, all those good things that we're supposed to be practicing. Proverbs 11, verse 12, just across the page. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. I'll mention it again because it was well said. It takes courage to hold your peace and to not say something. It takes faith to let information stop with you or with me. And if we don't, it says we're despising our neighbor. We're destroying a relationship. We're not even letting a relationship take root. We're going to be in the kingdom of God as children of God, working with people all over the world. Billions and billions of people. Are we not willing to work with any of them if we have a mindset of gossip and slander and spreading? I'm asking myself these questions to myself. Proverbs 16, 27. Proverbs 16, 27. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. You ever have somebody come up to you, and you know they're hunting for something? They were trying to dig. They're trying to get into something personal. I've had people come up to me like that. Just, let me ask you this really personal question. Okay. They're digging. They're digging up evil, and it's on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. These are strong words. Ungodly, perverse. They're separating the best of friends. Gossip destroys relationships. The third reflection I have on gossip here is that gossip harms the gossiper. It harms you when you participate in it. It harms me when I participate in it. We're going to stick with the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 18. We might think, yeah, it's self-seeking. It's going to elevate me. It's going to satisfy this ambition of mine. But at the end of the day, it harms me as well. Proverbs 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down to the inmost body. We started in Matthew 15 saying that gossip is an issue of the heart. And boy, they taste good. I mean, it's interesting. It's intriguing. But at the end of the day, it's a snare to our soul, and it destroys us from the inside. Destroys us from the inside. Proverbs 25. Sorry, I have a lot more scriptures than I usually do, but there's a lot of little nuggets here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 25, verse 9 and 10. Debate your case with your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest him who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. One of the casualties of gossip is trust gets broken down completely. If you find out, we've probably all experienced this, somebody told something about you to somebody else that you didn't want to know. What do you think about that person? I don't trust them as much as I thought I did, perhaps. But it's also pointing here, this proverb is pointing to this idea that debate your case with your neighbor, talk through it, reconcile, apply spiritual principles to come to some sort of agreement. Don't go talk about it with someone else. Don't take it to the courts. But the New Testament talks about that. Don't do that. Work it out. Because you never know if when it becomes public, it's all public. They might know something about you and throw that out there. And then it's your reputation that's ruined as well. Romans 14. Wrapping up here. Romans 14. Like I said, this is a prevalent issue that has been part of the church as long as I've been in the church. And I don't intend this to be corrective, by the way. I'm not sitting here saying, you all are gossiping. No, I think it's a good thing for all of us to review. It's a good thing for me to review. I just got back from a work trip that was pretty gossipy. You know, people having little conversations. So this topic's on my mind right now. Romans 14, verse 10. But why should you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as long as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. We give account of ourselves to God, not of somebody else. When we're standing before God, we're not going to say, well, do you know what this person did? Can I inform you what's going on here with this person? Or, yeah, I did that, but they did that. No. We each give account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. We give account of ourselves and our behavior, not of our brother's behavior. We are to help them, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, that's not going to fly. This idea of gossip before God is not going to work. Last scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 25. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying. So there's the question, does gossip have to be a lie? No, it could be truth. There's broader understanding, especially the Old Testament brings out, about you're bearing false witness against your neighbor. You're doing something against them to harm them, verbally in this case. Putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. Is it true? That's one of the questions we ask ourselves. Is it true? And if we don't know, if you can't stand before God to say it's true, then maybe we shouldn't say it. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with hands, but is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. It's an example of, you know, instead of stealing, work to give something. Well, instead of slandering and gossiping, work to edify. Work to build somebody up. And he goes right into that. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We are members of one another. We are in a fellowship with God. We're here at His invitation. Would we ever consider gossiping about God? No. None of us would ever consider gossiping about God or Jesus Christ. So why would we consider gossiping about each other? Are we not members of the same body? Are we not part of that fellowship? I'm going to conclude with a poem, an unknown author. It's pretty well known in the you research about gossip, and it showed up a couple different places, including some UCG resources. It's called "My Name Is Gossip." Thought it was a nice summary. My name is gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I topple governments, I ruin marriages, I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartache, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am called gossip. Brethren, we're here at God's invitation. He sets the rules. It will not be part of the kingdom of God, and it should not be part of our hearts in this age.